What do you call a prophet? He's a man, ain't he? Sure, he's a man. Do you fear God? What was God? Great is the mystery of godliness, for God was manifested in the flesh. Isn't that right? All right. Then, as I've said so many times, don't ever listen to people when they tell you that you know, they say you're following a man, you're following a man, you're going off on the deep end, you're following a man. You just tell them, you say, amen, I'm following a man. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm following a man, and he's a God man, and I'm glad to follow him. And I'll tell you what, that's the only way to heaven is to follow a God man. If you resent a God man, you'll go to hell. You can't resent a God man and get by with it, folks. Now, you can go out here and resent somebody in the world, but you don't resent a God man and get by with it. Jesus said, you do it to them, you do it to me. You don't resent him and get by with it. You can resent him all right, but not get by with it. You'll pay for every transgression. So then, fear that prophet. You know, that'd be a good sermon tonight, would it? Preach on fear the prophet. Somebody would say, hallelujah, I believe it. But where's the prophet? Come on, folks. Somebody said, he's dead. How do you believe that God was talking about a dead prophet when he said that? You ever heard a dead prophet tell something to come to pass? Dead prophets are not talking. He said if the prophet says something, that's a living prophet. Somebody said, but I don't know what a prophet is. The scripture makes it real clear. It said if he says something, it comes to pass. That proves he's a prophet. That's the proof that he's a prophet. If he says something and it comes to pass, that's proof that he's a prophet. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, it could be a false prophet. It could be. It could be a false prophet. You love the Lord? How do you know that false prophets have said things and God allowed them to come to pass? Is that right? They didn't come to pass because that prophet said it. But God told him, he said, I'll allow this to come to pass to try you, to see where you're standing. See what kind of condition you're in. Isn't that right? Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, that's all mixed up. It's clear as a noonday sun. It's just the way you look at it, you know. All right. Fear that prophet. I want to read just a little bit in the book of Isaiah. I don't know how long I'll talk to you. I might not talk with you 5 minutes. I might do like little Dudley Rain. He got up here to preach a fiery sermon, and he said about 15 words and sat down. I'm liable to do the same thing. But anyway, I want to say them 15 if that's what's important. Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, the 42nd chapter. Behold my servant, whom I uphold. How do you know that there is a servant of God that God upholds? Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth, and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord. That is my name, and my glory will I not give to another. Neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass. And new things do I declare before they spring forth, I tell you of them. You know, the Lord loves us, don't He? The Lord loves us. I come in here and I say things sometimes that appears to be scolding you. But I don't mean to do that. I don't mean to hurt you. I wouldn't hurt you for nothing in the world. I don't mean to offend you, though the Bible teaches in many things we offend all. I don't mean to offend you, but I mean to condemn sin in the flesh. I mean to bring it out to where you can see it and know what's going on. I mean to do my very best to show up an individual, if that individual is living right, or if that individual is not living right. And the Word of God will show up an individual. It will reveal an individual and his characteristics to your heart and to your mind. Have you know that? You may not know your neighbor. You might not understand your neighbor. But if you'll get the mind of God, God will reveal your neighbor to you. You'll know what kind of person he is, and you'll be able to understand him a lot better. You might not understand your wife and your children, but if you'll get the Word of God, it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, I wish that I was able just to stand before you and reveal to you the things that God has told me and the things that God has put in my heart. Your cup would run over. Some of you would be thrilled beyond the wildest imagination. Some of you, it wouldn't move because you don't understand. The Bible said the wicked shall not see when good cometh. Some of you would never be able to see it. You'd never be able to know what I was saying. But some of you that could get a hold of what I'm saying would be thrilled beyond the wildest imagination. I wish that God would allow me to do it. But so far He hasn't. I've said many things to you. Many things you've understood, many things you haven't understood. But I've said many things to you. Because the Spirit of God is upon me. The Spirit of God is in my heart. I was praying for Brother Elliot today, and the Spirit of God so mightily come down upon me. So great and so mighty was His presence and His power. How do you know that we're the temple of the Holy Ghost? We're the temples of God, and God wants us to be filled with His Spirit. Not just have a little bit of His Spirit, but the Bible said be filled with the Spirit. How do you understand what the Lord is saying when He said be filled with the Spirit? How many of you know that they were so filled with the Spirit of God that in the early days they would come together like we are here, they would fast and pray, and they would lay hands upon each other, and the Holy Ghost would speak through the person that had their hands upon the other, and the Holy Ghost would say, "Separate me, this one and this one, for the work whereunto I've called them." Have you know that? God was in the church. A lot of times today, somebody will say, "Well, I'm going where I want to and I'll get back whenever I take a notion." I'm not letting anybody tell me what to do. God will tell me what to do. But the Bible said in the early church that the Spirit of God, while they fasted and prayed, spoke to the membership of the body and told the membership what they were to do. Somebody would say, "Well, Brother Pike, God doesn't do that anymore." But we sent Brother Hollis off to New York the other day, sent forth by the Holy Ghost to New York City. He went there and returned. God sent him. We told him that the Holy Ghost was sending him to New York because the Holy Ghost spoke to me. The Holy Ghost told me, and the Holy Ghost put it in my heart to tell Brother Hollis what he wanted him to do. God is still in his body. God is still in his body. Still within the temple of God. Hallelujah. Somebody said, "But Brother Pike, the Holy Ghost don't speak like that anymore." But the Holy Ghost does speak like that. Hallelujah. When I'm up here and I'm preaching to you, the Bible said it's not me that speaketh, but the Holy Ghost that's speaking from within me. The That Holy Ghost is in the body. That Holy Ghost is in the temple of God, and you're the temple of God. That Holy Ghost is moving on the inside of you and on the inside of me. And that Holy Ghost will speak through you just like it'll speak through me. And that Holy Ghost, according to your measure of the Spirit, will tell people what God wants them to do. You love the Lord? The Holy Ghost. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Somebody would say, Brother Pike, what's so wonderful about the Holy Ghost? He's so wonderful that the Bible said if you speak one word against him, it'll not be forgiven in this world nor in the world to come. That's how wonderful he is. That's how close it is. That's what a close margin it is in getting from earth into that great city. One word can cut you off eternally. That's why you ought to fear. That's why you ought to be afraid. When you let your thoughts run wild, when you come into the sanctuary or when you're out yonder and you go to say something about your fellow man and you let thoughts come in like that, see, you're liable to blaspheme the Holy Ghost. One thought come in there and the devil sees you and you speak out a word against the Holy Ghost and you're eternally damned and into the flames you go. That's why that I believe that we ought to reverence and fear and be afraid for Christ's sake and for the sake of our soul. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I'll never blaspheme the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you one thing, if God gets ready for you to blaspheme the Holy Ghost, you won't do nothing else but blaspheme. He said, for this cause have I raised Pharaoh up, to magnify him so I can tear him back down. Is that right? Why did he raise Satan up? Why did he? He raised him up so he could destroy him. Come on, folks. A lot of folks say, Brother Pike, God isn't like that. But the Bible said these are brute beasts that are made to be taken and burned. They're corrupt men who were before the Lord ordained under that condemnation. Ungodly men turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Is that right? God creates the good. God creates the evil. God has his way in both. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, if this thing is like that, then I don't have anything to say about it. That's right. You don't have anything to say about it. That's why the Bible said not to lean to your own understanding, because you don't have anything to say about it. The Bible tells us that you don't even know how to pray, that the Spirit on the inside makes intercession with groans and moans that can't be uttered. Is that right? He said, lean not to your own understanding because you're born of vanity, you're conceived in iniquity and sin, and your very image is a repulsive thing in the sight of God, and all God wants you to do is just surrender up your heart and trust in the Lord with all of your heart and let God direct your heart and life where he wants you to go. Being little sheep to be led. But people are too smart, you know. I'm too smart for that preacher. I've got him figured out. I know what he's doing. You know, I've got him figured out. I'm one of these fellows that God has put here to watch after the people. You know, I'm not going to follow that preacher like that. I'm going to watch after them people. But consequently, you're the one that stirs up the mud and causes all the trouble, causes the division, and breaks down everything and tries to make it look like the preacher. But a real true man of God, he'll preach the gospel, and he'll preach it the way the Bible said preach it, and it'll cut you like a two-edged sword. It'll cut you to your heart. And the Bible said, cursed is the man that holdeth back his sword from blood. You got your sword dipped in blood? If you haven't got it dipped in blood, you're not doing any good, folks. Said, if you spare any of them, there'll be pricks in your side. So then, when the man of God comes to preach, he does not come to hurt you. He does not come to offend you. But he comes to tell you the things of God and to open your mind to the Spirit of God that you might understand that you're the temples of God and that you've got the Holy Ghost on the inside of you and that you're to be filled with God's Spirit. Hallelujah. Are you filled with the Spirit tonight? The Bible said be filled with the Spirit. Full of the Spirit of God. Does God talk to you? Does God tell you the revelation of the Lord Jesus? This morning at 4 o'clock, God had me up on my knees talking with me. Do you have conversations with God? Oh, about 1 o'clock, I believe it was, God had me on my knees talking to me. This morning, God was still talking with me. God talks with His people. If you don't have any conversations with God, then you're not God's people. For God talks with His people. And the Bible said, "My sheep know My voice." That's why you should never resent and find fault. A lot of you that come against the ministry and come against the reproof of the ministry, I know that you're not God's sheep. You say, "How do you know, Brother Pike?" Because the voice of God is speaking to you. And you resent it. And He said, "My sheep know My voice." If you was God's sheep, you would know His voice. You don't recognize His voice. That's how I know who you are. That's how I know who you are. Peter said, "We know who we are." The writer said, "We know who we are. And by this, that makes us to know who you are." Come on, folks. I said, if I know whether or not I'm a Chinese or Japanese, then I know what you are. Is that right? Because I know what I am, and I know that you're not like me. And if you're not like me, that means you're different. You're bound to be something else. Is that right? Hallelujah. So then God said, "This is My elect, upon whom I place My Spirit." God will talk with us. The mind of revelation will come to us. Hallelujah. It's good to see Brother Ed coming in. Brother Ed said he's going to be here for this camp meeting, and I believe it. You know, some folks, Ed, they don't believe nothing until they see it. I'm a believer. Hallelujah. There sits Ed in the audience. So then, God wants us to awake. He wants us to wake up from our slumber and our sleep. They say, "But Brother Pike, I'm not slumbering. I'm not sleeping." But you are slumbering and you are sleeping. When a person is in the carnal mind and their thoughts is on making a living and thoughts on getting a home and thoughts on automobiles and thoughts on money and thoughts on reasoning and thoughts on their families, they're hard and fast asleep. God wants you to wake up. He's doing a marvelous thing. God is trying to do something for you. He wants you to awake from the slumber that you're in. God is trying to get you to wake up. Why? Because He wants to do something with you. God would like to do something with you. God wants to use you because you're the temple of God. God wants to walk inside of you, talk inside of you. When you speak, God wants it to be His voice that's speaking. When you think, God wants it to be His mind that's thinking. See, you're born into this world. It's a perverted thing when you're born into this world. "In iniquity was I conceived," the writer said. You're born into iniquity. You come into the image of the devil when you come into the world. Because that's the image of the beast, and the beast is the image of the devil. Did you know that? Did you know that your carnal mind will cause you to be the image of the devil? You're nothing more than a beast unless you have the mind of God. Unless you're reborn, unless you're born again, that you might take on another image, and that image being the Son of God image, then you're nothing but a beast, and you're despised in the sight of God. You understand what I'm saying? You may be intelligent. You may think you look good when you look in the mirror. But brothers and sisters, I want you to know tonight that unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom of God. There's no way that you can see God's kingdom until you're born again. Until you get your body changed into the image of Christ, then you can't be pleasing to Him. He said, "In the morning I will despise your image." Hallelujah. God is doing something so great and so wonderful until it's unbelievable. Hallelujah. I've got a little article in here tonight I want Brother Taylor to read before we get away from here tonight that James brought. The drought that we spoke of has already hit San Francisco, already moving down the coast. What is it? There has to be something spiritual that's taking place. When God brings a natural drought, there's something spiritual taking place. God just doesn't close up the heavens for nothing. We're right here moving into the middle of the year. And the tribulation period is laying upon the people. And God is expecting us to get up and get filled with the Spirit. Get the revelation of Jesus Christ. Get the anointing of God in our lives. Not having to get anointed. For God's preachers are God's anointed. I've said it before, if they're standing in a gas station talking, you walk up and talk with them, they've not got to jump up and down and turn flips so that you'll think they're anointed. All they've got to do is just speak a word or two and you're in trouble. Because they're bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. They're God's anointed. Hallelujah. I don't have to go somewhere and get anointed. I'll be sitting in my table eating a biscuit. And the tears will start running down my cheeks. And the Spirit of God going up and down me like you stuck a live wire to me. I don't have to go to a special fast, a special room. God's always with me. He said, I'll be with you. If I covenanted with you, I'll stay with you, he said. I'll be with you all the time. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you, but every day I'm with you. I'll walk in you. Brother Pike, every time you walk, God will be walking. I'll feel your infirmities. If somebody hurts you, Brother Pike, I'll feel the same way about it. If they grieve you, they grieve me. Somebody say hallelujah. We are God's anointed. I am bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. I am the image of God. I am the likeness of God. I am the glory of God. Hallelujah. This drought that's setting in is so bad that combustion in the forests is in different places. Things are breaking out into great fires just from the heat combustion. Things are happening. They don't know what to do about it. Along the areas of San Francisco, the drought is so heavy that 11 areas are without water. On the seacoast, mind you. Right there, without water. And what is so bad, it's become a federal case. What is it? Everything is drying up. I said that all of the cities would fall prey to Atlanta, Georgia. The great cities would crumble. And out of Atlanta, Georgia would come forth the governor upon his shoulders. Would be the government, and they'd cast the crowns down at his feet. They're doing it. They're doing it. Never before have they ever yielded up to anyone like they're doing this man. Why? Everything is drying up. All around, things are taking on a change. There is a spiritual drought. When I saw this great drought coming, it was so horrible that for a number of days, I never even told my wife. For weeks, I never breathed it to anyone because it was so horrible. That drought means that the Spirit of God is beginning to withdraw from the earth. It means that the days of the Gentiles are finished. All around, breaking forth in the West. Why is it in the West? Why is it that God has let it break forth in the West? Why is that? Because the Western world is finished. It's gone. God is through with it. The movie stars and the frolics and the big times and those that wouldn't listen to God. God is through with it. Already, it is so bad in San Francisco or that area. Already, it's so terrible that they're stopping people from washing their cars. On the weekend, they're stopping the commercial water for certain days at a time. The people are complaining, and they're saying that we want all of the people that's coming into our areas and our coast to go in bathing and be along the beaches. We want them stopped because they're robbing us of our water supply. You understand what I'm saying? Cutting out the traffic What is it? Why is that great drought out there? Because in the days of Elijah, he was sent to but one widow. Just one little widow was all he was sent to. A lot of widows in the days of Eliseus, but he was sent to one. A lot of folks say, well, Brother Pike, it don't matter. This revelation is all over the world. But I've got some news for you tonight. The Bible said Eliseus was sent to but one. Just one. Hallelujah. Not a whole flock, but just one with her. And her meal barrel never gave out. Her crucible oil never failed. Why? Because God sent His Word. He sent His Word, and His Word was made flesh. And His Word brought healing, and His Word brought deliverance. And God's Word is still in the earth tonight bringing healing and bringing deliverance. How do you know that? God's Word tonight still heals. If you can hear the voice tonight, you can be healed. If you can hear the voice tonight, you can be saved. If you can hear the voice of God tonight, you can cross over the muddy Jordan. And I'll tell you what, Jordan is muddy. You say, how do you know, Brother Pike? Not just because I baptized James in it, but I know that the Jordan is muddy when I look at some of the conditions of your mind. That old muddy Jordan of yours is flowing with all the filth that a river can't flow it. That's right. Filthy. Jordan is overflowing with death. But God is wanting to get you over the Jordan. He's wanting you to quit thinking. Stop thinking. Somebody said, you want to brainwash us? I'm trying as hard as I know how. I said here the other night, if anybody ever needed a brainwashing, it's the people of America. They've got one of the dirtiest minds of anybody in the world. They need a good brainwashing. God's trying to brainwash him by the washing of regeneration. Amen. By His Word, He's trying to wash the filth out of them. God is trying to help you. He wants you to quit thinking for yourselves. He wants you to quit thinking in your own way. He wants you to take the Word of God and read the Word of God day and night and listen to the man of God day and night and find the Word of God and transformate your minds into the mind of Christ. The Bible said, be therefore transformed by the renewings of your minds to prove that which is good and acceptable before God. What kind of thoughts have you got tonight? What kind of mind have you got tonight? God wants you to have the right kind of mind. And there's only one right kind of mind, that's the mind of Jesus Christ. There ain't no other. The mind of Jesus Christ. If you don't have the mind of Christ tonight, you don't know what's going on. Like Brother Bobby Marable, he came to me, I believe it was yesterday. And he remembered that we said that this thing would rise up out of Memphis. And then when it came out of Memphis, it would move over to Atlanta, Georgia. And found itself in such a way that she'd become a little Rome. And the whole world would fall prey to her. He said, Brother Pike, he said, I just heard and saw. He said, I saw this on film. And said, I heard it. That from Memphis, Tennessee, the Black Powers, the great black organization, said that they would back Jimmy Carter 100%. You follow me? I want you to listen tonight. I don't want to hurt you. I want to help you, but I want you to listen at me. I can't say things, reveal things, unless I say them like they are. When I say them like they are, that involves personalities. That involves sex, the people, certain sex. That involves a lot of different things. And I have to try to do it the best way that I know how. When I preach to you a little bit or talk with you and get your attention, then I can tell you a few things that God has told me. But I want you to remember this now. I do not favor any race on the earth. You say, Brother Pike, you are a white man. I am a white man as far as sight, but I do not favor the white race. I want the white race in my presence to know that, and I want the white race wherever they're at to know that. I don't favor them anymore than I favor anybody else. I got a little Indian in me, and I don't favor the Indians. Amen. I might have some if you look close enough as far as features, but I don't favor the Indian race. I don't favor the black man. I don't favor the Chinese, and I don't favor the Japanese. I don't favor any of them. Hallelujah. You know why? because I'm not of this world. I favor God and God's people and God's family because I'm not of this world. God didn't send me down here to favor people. I don't favor politics, whether it's Republican or Democrat or whatever. I favor one government, that's the government of God. As far as I'm concerned, the rest of it's rotten. Every bit of it will come down. I made the statement, I said that the black power will stand behind the man that's coming. And I said it will not be a black leader, it'll be a white leader. Is that right? I said it will be a white leader. And I said that he will succeed because of three things. One thing is because the black man will stand behind him. Another thing is because he'll be religious. Is that right? I made the statement that the man would be religious. Another reason is because the great name that he follows, the money powers are behind him. And I made the statement that Jackie Kennedy would fall in there and Rockefeller and all the rest. And you watch. There's something yet to come that you'll find out about Jackie Kennedy. That's right. Everything seems to be pretty quiet, but you just watch and see. Why? Because God knows what he's saying. A lot of times I make mistakes, but God doesn't make mistakes. God knows what he's doing. Hallelujah. And so then out of Memphis, out of Egypt, I have called my son. When the 10 tribes, as we would say, came here in those buses and settled, and then 10 families come out of the Carolinas, it was like the spirits coming out of heaven to pick up the body. It was like the church and the Jew coming together. Isn't that right? Because that's exactly what it represented. It represented the revelation of Jesus Christ coming out of heaven and coming down here to a human body and perfecting it in the mind and image of God. Hallelujah. So then I said that they would come out of Memphis. I said the thing would rise up and that the church of God in Christ, which is the biggest black organization in the world as far as religion, I said that they'd stand behind it. Now you just watch and see. The great powers of the black, I said, would stand behind it. Why? Because God uses people for certain ages and certain times. God used the white man in a type, not because he was good, not because he was righteous. Some of them been rotten to the core. Some of them been sons and daughters of God. But God used them. And he established a place called Washington, D.C. A great sovereignty of its own that was to control the world. And that was to be a symbol of light because it was a white man. That was to be a symbol of truth because it was Washington. And Washington was known to symbolize truth. How do you know that? God upheld it. And God has kept it in such a great way that it has astounded the world. But the black man represents night and represents darkness. There is a daylight, there is a darkness. There is a light, there is a night. The church represents God's daylight in the teachings of the 12 apostles. The 12 hours of the daylight. That's God's church. But the Jews represent the night because that's 12 hours in the darkness, the 12 tribes. And when the black man comes in, he carries a twofold meaning. One of those meanings, as I have expressed before, is a pattern of the Jew. The real Christian black man that loves God is symbolic of the Jewish people. The black man that doesn't love God is a symbolic thing of darkness and of evil. Now, in this age that we're living in, out of Memphis comes this great move of darkness, and the black man rises up to a great power, to a great pedestal, to a great authority. Nobody's going to stop him.
You can't stop what God goes to do. You can sit around and say what you want to and hate people and find fault, but you can't stop the move of God. If they could have stopped it, they'd stopped it at little Bethlehem. You can't stop the move of God. It's the hour for God to pick up the black man. He's going to pick him up. Remember, God fattens for two purposes. When he raises up somebody, he raises them up for one of two reasons. He either fattens them for the kill, or he raises them up in the Spirit of God to give them their eternal blessings. The Bible said, God maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. Is that right? The blessing of God. Now, God will raise you up, make you a great power, make you a great authority like he did Moses. If you're good and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. But if not, he will raise you up as he did Pharaoh, to be a great power, to be a great authority, that you might oppose him in everything he does. And he will fashion your heart until you stand in opposition to him in everything he does, that he might destroy you. He said, for this purpose have I raised him up, that I might put a contest between him and Moses, that he might rebel, that Moses might shine the brighter, as he overcomes and the good and great things of Moses might be revealed. That's why God brought the law, and that's why God brought grace, to put a contest between the law and the grace in the eyes of the people. Have you know that? That the law may magnify God. God wanted the law to magnify him. And every time the law would come against Christ, Christ would flex his spiritual muscles and overcome. And everybody saw the greater power, which was Christ. So then God has always done that. You understand what I'm saying? If God is raising the black man up, there's two reasons. One is he'll raise up the good man, whether he's black or white, to bless him and give him riches and eternal life. The other, he will raise up to a great power that he might frown upon him and smite him and scatter them to the wind. In this very day that we're living in, from out of Memphis is coming the black man. The typical, the symbolic thing. Coming out of Memphis. Why? Out of Egypt, I've called my son. It is typical of the move of the Jew. It is typical of what God's doing for the church. It's typical of the great things of God that's happening to God's people, whether black or white. But in that the black man represents darkness, it means that Atlanta, Georgia will be symbolic of the black, dark pit that's bottomless. And out of it will come forth every evil there is. Through the regime of the black man will come forth perversion. There will come forth murder. There will come forth rape. There will come forth hatred. There will come forth division and come forth malice. Come forth cruelty. Why? Because it is a symbolic thing. I made the statement way back here when Edgar Hoover went out. I said, when Edgar Hoover went off of the scene, I said, your law is at an end. Is that right? I said, your law is at an end. It's failed, brother, ever since that time. The law has failed. People can't do anything with it anymore. Over in Detroit, Michigan, I got the clipping at home now. Over in Detroit, Michigan, they just had to lay 1,000 policemen off the force. 1,000! And yet they say that Detroit is one of the wildest, meanest places in the world. I know that for a fact because I've lived there and preached there. 1,000 of them gone. Can you imagine that? Crime at the rate that it is, with all of the policemen they got, which is 5,000 or more. And then they had to get rid of 1,000 of them. What will they do now? You understand what I'm saying? See, the law had iniquity bound. The law had it bound, saying, thou shalt not. But when the days of grace come to Calvary, what happened? It turned to loose everything. For the rain comes on the just and the unjust. The wicked prosper. And David said they spread themselves like a green bay tree. And you can't tell who's right and who's not right. You follow me? So then, with the end of the law, which was Edgar, with the end of the law, what happened? You say, what do you mean the end of the law, Brother Pike? I mean that when Edgar Hoover went out, the law began to turn black. It was about the same time or just before that Martin Luther King rose up and demanded that they be put on the police force that carried a dual meaning. One is that the Jew rules with the law, which is the rod of iron. The other is that satanic forces of darkness overpower the law and pervert judgment and brings evil upon the world. Today the law is becoming the black man. Everywhere the law is becoming the black man. I made the statement. I said it will come in through the law. It will be a musical ending, a great religious ending, and it will be a great thing concerning the movie stars. Isn't that right? Somebody would say, well, I don't see that. You know there's more music in this age than there's ever been in any other age. Everywhere. It's a musical thing. They play it in the stores. We play it on the campground. Everywhere. There's more religion than there's ever been in the history of the world. Even Carter stood up and said the only way to bring the nation to the right place is through God. Are you listening? What is it? It's a religion. Where does the movie star part come in? Look at Ronald Reagan. What is it? He's a movie star. Running for president. You follow me? Everything is pointing toward the end time. Right here in the middle of this year, when this great drought is setting in, millions and billions of dollars in damage done. Right when everything is hot, blistering, in a combustion state. They're planning to have a fireworks that's unbelievable for the bicentennial. They're planning to explode just in Washington alone, I believe it is, or one place, wherever it's at. More gunpowder than was used in the whole Korean conflict. God has given them up to a reprobate mind. The perversion. I got word that Manor Jackson, the mayor of Atlanta, is a sodomite. It's no wonder he had gay day and turned all the perverts loose. It's no wonder he would do a thing like that, though it shocked everybody in the nation and in the foreign countries and everywhere else. But why would he do it? If a man to pervert, why not do it? Two can't walk together unless they be agreed. You can't change the scriptures. When people do evil, there's fellowship somewhere with the devil. Somebody say amen while I take a drink of water. Now, look at the thing that's taking place. Atlanta is becoming the dark pit. Out of that dark pit, overpowering the law, perverting the law, will come forth every evil that there is. The Bible said where there's confusion, there is every evil work. Atlanta is filled with confusion, folks. It is a place of iniquity. It is a cesspool of iniquity. From everywhere, they will come. I don't mean just the black man. This world is overrun with white men that are perverts. The hippies, there's hundreds and thousands of hippies. Men and women alike, black and white alike, that are perverts. That's right, they practice it all the time. The whole world is filled with corruption. Why did God burn Sodom and Gomorrah? Why? said in the last days they will leave the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, man with man, working that which is unseemly. Come on, folks, are you listening to me? How do you remember not too long ago? I said, I saw a vision. I said, and this evil thing came to pass in such a way that there was along the highways, the super highways, and along the streets, defiling themselves with one another. And I said, it was great men like the bankers and leaders. Brother Bennett, didn't you say today that you marvel at the uncovering of the great leaders and the great dignitaries in our day that's happening recently? That you marvel at the filth that's found there? Did you tell me that today? Marveling at it. But even before Darrell marveled at it, in Dallas, Texas, they found there that the postmaster, the great postmaster of the place, was a pervert. They found that three floors of the hotel, one of the leading ones, was all perverts. What is it? God burns a place like Sodom and Gomorrah. There's one thing that God won't tolerate, and that's perversion. God will burn a place with fire. That's why in the vision I saw people look upon Atlanta, Georgia, and the nations looked at it and frowned on it. And a voice said to me, Atlanta, Georgia's gone, she'll burn. Who was it that sat there and fiddled while Rome burned? Why was it that they published a piece in the paper of Atlanta, Georgia, of the man that's causing the trouble sitting there fiddling while Atlanta burned? Why? Come on, folks, are you listening to me? Played him up as Caesar and set him there, and he was fiddling while Atlanta burned. That's what the papers carried after we said it would burn. Who was it that caused it to burn? It was Nero that caused it to burn. Is that right? Who is this going to cause Atlanta to burn? The same one that sat and fiddled in the picture. The perversion. That's what caused it. God don't make mistakes, folks. So then what's taking place? So many multiplied things you'd have to write a book. Out of Egypt I've called my son. I made the statement that they would move my brother Charles. I said, someday they'll move him and bring him over here. I said, just watch and see. Already the arrangements has been made for him to come out of there right now. And they're fixing to go get his body and move it over here to the cemetery. My brother came to me and said, God spoke to me in a vision and said, move your brother, it's time to move him. I had a night vision last night, and there I know it was my brother laying there, had been dug up, brought up out of the ground. Why? It goes back to the vision we had where I resurrected Kennedy and resurrected my brother Charles. To bring somebody up out of the ground, that's typical of resurrection. How do you know that? That little John Kennedy that come over here, Charles has to do with Carter. I said this the other night. Carter being a Kennedy. What is it? They said, when you come out of Egypt, bring my bones. Isn't that right? When you come out of Egypt, bring my bones. What has that got to do with it? Carter's daddy's name, Joseph. When you get out of there, bring my bones out of there. My brother's name has to do with Aaron, Charles Aaron. You follow me? Where was it? In the wilderness. Aaron was the high priest. What is the high priest? He's Christ Jesus, the Holy Ghost. When he comes up out of the ground, it's symbolic of the resurrection of the dead. Right here in the middle of the year when the government is collapsing, they're going to find it's full of perverts. It's falling. It's collapsing. It's gone. Everything is crumbling. Why is God moving it from over there? Right there, we call it the River Jordan, the Mississippi River. Right there where Brother Branham come out of the Kentucky wilderness and talked with us at the Methodist Hospital. And we brought out the other night, Ms. Methodist, remember? And how that from right there, my brother, right there, what we call the Jordan coming up at this very time to show the resurrection of the move of God for the last day or the end time. God don't do things for nothing. There's something that's happening. I never considered the fact of what God was doing. If He didn't speak to me, I wouldn't know. But when the Lord spoke to me and said, your brother Aaron, having to do with the high priest, and He said, your dad, Carter. Well, I never connected my daddy's name, Carter, with Jimmy Carter, though my dad's name is Sam Carter. And then I saw what He's trying to tell me. When the Son comes up and He comes back to the Father, and a whole lot we could say tonight if we went into that. And then when Brother Charles Elliott got involved in the moving of the dead body of my brother from over there, over here. And I said it had to do with Moses. Because out of Egypt I've called my son, it was Moses that brought him out. And I found out today that Brother Charlie Elliott had made a call in the behalf of it. And you know where the call went to? It went to Mount Pisgah. Over in the Carolinas. The man he had to talk to was at Mount Pisgah. And that man said, I'll take care of it, Charlie. You follow me? The man at Mount Pisgah. You say, what's Mount Pisgah? God took Moses up to Mount Nebo, up into the top of Pisgah, and said, behold, Canaan land. Took him back down in the valley of Moab. Is that right? Over to Beth Peor and buried him. Out of Egypt, I've called my son. Somebody said, what are you trying to say, Brother Pike? I mean, this old body's Egypt. It's time to get out of the world. Your mind has been in Egypt with the garlic and the onion. But God's calling your spirit out of this world. The Bible said He's chosen us out of this world. Your spirit is your mind. It's your life. And He's calling your spirit out of the life of that old body. Calling it out of Egypt. And He's changing your appetite to heavenly things. Your mind to heavenly things. Your taste and desire to heavenly things. What is He doing that for? To get you over the Jordan. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, according to the revelations, if that's Moses calling them out of Egypt, they're going over Jordan into the wilderness. Then how do you, or over the Red Sea into the wilderness, how do you call that Jordan? Because the flesh goes over into the wilderness. It was Pharaoh that got drowned, not Moses. You understand what I'm saying? The end of the thing is better than the beginning. God sees the end. Say, so what's that got to do with it? Because it was at Calvary where the blood was spilt, that was the Red Sea. But it was right then and there that we crossed Jordan. When the blood was spilt, death was over. Somebody understand what I'm saying? It's just a matter of waiting for the promise. After you've done the will of God, you have need of patience that you might receive the promise. The church don't go in the wilderness. When Jesus died at Calvary to free the church, it didn't go into the wilderness. It was those that rejected God that went into the wilderness. The soul went into hell. The body went into the grave. But the spirit into paradise. You follow me? Into the beautiful Canaan of God. So then there is something that's taking place. Something that is outstanding. The government is crumbling over in Washington. And the light is going out and the white man's day is finished. His government is over and he's gone. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, don't you know Jimmy Carter's a white man? But Jimmy Carter is leading the black man. Say what you will, but he's leading the black man. Brother, there's going to be a conflict. You watch what I'm telling you. There's going to be some wrestling in Washington. There's going to be some fireworks. There's going to be some disputing. There's going to be a turmoil and a confusion in Washington like you've never seen before since she's been a nation. Now let's watch and see. Why? Because the black man is not going to favor Washington, D.C. Now listen to me. Washington, D.C. is filled with white men in office. And the black man knows that he'll never have complete power. And the black power is not after freedom. I know that we've got black men that just want equal rights. We've got white men that just want equal rights. But there's never been a day when the flesh ever wanted equal rights. The flesh wants to lord over everybody. Always been that way.
Whether it's a white man or a black man or a rich man or a poor man or whatever kind of man. The yellow man would love the Lord over us. The black man would love the Lord over us. The white man would love the Lord over us. And the whole dirty scheme is against the church. You'll see it after a while. So then the black man can never have full control in Washington. What will he do? Atlanta will be the place. That's right. They'll put their fingers on Jimmy Carter and they'll force Jimmy to do just exactly what they want to do. And they'll keep pressing him and pulling and pressing him, and they'll lift him up. And the Bible said, who can stand before flattery? They'll lift him up like a god, and who can stand before flattery? But suddenly something's going to happen. It's going to be shocking and surprising. You follow me? God's going to do something. So then, we see that there is something that is taking place in Atlanta, Georgia, that's not taking place anywhere else. Now listen real close to it, and I'm going to try to close here in just a few minutes. Look at the West. Look at the drought. Look at it. What is it? It's the days of Elijah. It's the days when the Spirit has been cut off. When America's finished, her water's been cut off. Why is the Spirit cut off? Because it's the Spirit that produces the spiritual food. It's the water that produces the natural food. When the water's cut off, it means the Spirit's cut off. When the food's cut off, it means the spiritual food's cut off. Why is it happening in the West? Because the move of Brother Branham and the denominational move is over. I learned today, Brother T.O. Larry, the great leader of the Church of God, he's informed Brother Charlie Neal that they're not going to have their great convention over where they've been having it, up there near the gateway of the West, but they're going to move it to Dallas. Why? They say the Republican Party's coming here, it's going to be too much commotion. But that's not why God's moving it to Dallas. The sun goes down the West. That Trinitarian thing of the Church of God has to do with the veil. And that brother of this woman, Sister Eileen, that man has to do with the Moses side of it. That's why little Alan, it looks so much like him, up around Mount Pisgah. That's why Brother Charlie's having the communication. It's the Trinity thing, Brother Branham's veil going down in Dallas in the West. The end of it at the changeover. That means that there's a drought throughout the West that moves over. Everybody that's in the woman perspective will be thirsty and won't get a drink. But it's time for the sons of God to be manifested. It's a membership of the sons of God manifested, coming as pillars in the earth to set up the government of God, to let the woman know that she ain't the boss. Come on, folks. I said it's time the woman learn that she's not the boss. God's the boss. As long as women tell the husband what to do, that husband will never make it to the kingdom of God. If he ever makes it to the kingdom of God, I hope somebody will have the audacity to come and stand and say, you liar, right in my face. He'll never make it. The scriptures condemn it. Now, why is it that God has to stop that move of the woman? Brother Branham said to the bride, that woman part has caused trouble. Is that right? Confusion. Why? Because she listened to the beast and went back to the seed of the serpent. Come on. Is that right? That's where a mind centers. That's the old fleshly woman. Always the seed of the serpent. Is that right? Why? Because that's the first birth unto death. But you got to be born again. But the sons of God shall marry her. Is that right? As a man taking to himself a wife. Why has that got deceased as the woman? Because the church is the woman. The church is the fleshly part. And the woman's got to yield it up to the husband, which is God. And God's going to make them natural allegories fall into place for one purpose. That is so that he, as God, can cause the woman to get under subjection. Somebody would say, well, that's just allegoric. That don't have nothing to do with me. But lady, let me tell you, I love you as a sister in Christ. But if you're going to be like the church, you're going to obey your husband and honor him in all things. If you don't honor him in all things, then you're not one with him. And if you're not one with him, you don't have any part in his inheritance. That's right. You could say amen or oh me. I brought it out here in the message of the covering. He's your covering. That's right. If you don't have him, you don't have a covering. He's your covering. All right, now. Yeah, I know that takes a lot of explanation. What about the widows and the others? I explained it on tape too, and sometimes we will again. Now, but I want you to see tonight, just through a few scatter remarks, and there are just so many things like bushels, that this thing that's coming up is death. Like I was on the embalming table the other night, I told this in a vision. Now I laid on the embalming table, and he brought up a death veil, a black veil, and he's going to put it on my face. And when he got ready to put it on my face, I thought, well, that's what they're supposed to do to a dead fellow. But I thought, but I'm not dead. And yet here I am on the embalming table. And I thought, well, my land, you can't do that because the veil's been rent. See, death is gone. That old dark mind of reasoning and carnality, the old beast mind, it's gone. It's eradicated with the brightness of the revelation. It's been destroyed. He that hath power over death, destroy him. Is that right? So then, we are free from death. This is a great life move, not a death move. When you was born the first time, you was born unto death. How many of you know that? But when you was born the second time, you was born of an incorruptible seed unto life. Is that right? Because he lives, I live. That's why my brother Charles is being moved. It's because it has to do with the resurrection of the dead. More than I could ever explain here tonight. But I want you to ponder on that. That my brother has to do with the resurrection of the dead. You just ponder on that. You know, it's like they say, you don't have to get a permit to bury a person. But you have to get a permit to resurrect them. How many of you know you have to have God's permission? You don't just get him out of the ground for nothing. The laws of death says he lays there till you get your proper permit. All right, I want you to stand with me. A lot of things I would like to have said tonight, but at the first of the service, I felt something, you know, that's just real foggy, confusing like, that just wouldn't let us. Oh yeah, that was something I'm glad Cindy reminded me. I said that Jackie would be right in the middle of this. How many of you saw the picture of Jackie yesterday? Her new boyfriend is a black man. How many of you know that? And he said she really likes him. Have you believe what I'm saying now? See, God knows what he's doing, folks. There's a good possibility that black man's got some money somewhere. She took a liking to Onassis. Wasn't that his name? Oh, he's a... Oh, there it is right there. In other words, she's looking for that open door. He's a movie star. That's an open door to the movies. She's crafty like a fox. She don't stop at nothing to get what she wants, does she? Next thing you know, she'll be a movie star, a TV artist or something. She's moving right on in. All right. Now, how do you believe I love you? I really do, from my heart. I love you. Now, these things I speak of the black man, I speak them to show you the type. Good type and a bad type. I bring out the good type of the white man and the bad type. The white man's got a good type. The type is an angelic, heavenly, spiritual church. Where the black man is a type of the Jew, the earthly church. And then, as the black man is a type of the evil spirits and satanic forces of darkness, the white man is also a type of the beast and of the spirits of Satan transformated into angels of light. So, as Brother Branham said, six of one, half a dozen of the other. It is not a black man move It isn't that the black man's going to take over. That's not it at all. It isn't a white man move. It isn't that the white man's going to take over. Nor is the Japanese, nor is any other. The Antichrist will take over. It's not going to be a move of any people. That's why the shocking thing will come. It's going to be one man that's going to do it all. Every nation is going to fail, and every race is going to fail, and one individual is going to do it. That's going to be the shocking part. That's something, ain't it? That everybody else will fail, and one individual will do it. You know why he will do it? Can you tell me why? He will be Satan personified in the flesh. That's why he will do it. The personification of Satan. But iniquity shall abound, and the love of many shall wax cold. When it says iniquity shall abound, it means it'll take the high ruling place. It'll be up here and take over the law. It'll take over the government. It'll take over all these other things. See, it shall abound. Iniquity. When it does, the love of many shall wax cold, because people will get weary and say, let's just be like the rest. We can't resist it any longer. You know, I spoke of Billy Graham, his ministry being over. I noticed that a psychic or somebody, they said, has made a prediction that Billy will go off the field this coming year with a heart attack. Said he'll have a severe heart attack. Go off the field, said he'll have to give up his ministry. Well, whether he does or not, as far as the psych is concerned, we know what God's concern is, don't we? You love the Lord? Folks, I wonder if you'd bear with me for just a moment. I'm very careful when I bring a newsprint into the house of God. There's nothing wrong with a newspaper if the right things are put in it. As a matter of fact, we got about two or three page spread not too long ago that come out and took pictures all inside here. But I'm very careful not to bring any obscene thing into the house of God. Any profane thing to defile the sanctuary of God. But that which will have virtue in it, build up, magnify. And I want Brother Taylor to read this to you, because even though I tell you, could you be seated for just a moment? Even though I tell you and I relate it to you, it's not, it doesn't have the profoundness, you know, and leave an imprint upon your mind as it would with somebody reading it. So I'm going to let Brother Taylor, if he'll come up here, read it to you. And I want you to listen. He's going to read it very careful. It's concerning San Francisco. Now, Betty and I are familiar with this area. We preached up and down the coast of Los Angeles, of California. And Brother Denny, I believe, where's Denny at? Denny, you're familiar with this area, right? Where this is taking place. I believe you've been in that area, right? Okay, folks, this is coming right on down home. Brother Taylor.
In large print, it says, area hauls in water. California parched. San Francisco. Associated Press. Tank trucks that usually haul milk and wine are being rounded up to bring water to 11 drought-parched coastal communities north of San Francisco. Some communities have already given up on simple measures such as bans on washing cars and watering lawns. In the picturesque town of Bolinas, for example, officials met recently to discuss whether to shut off water to commercial establishments on weekends in efforts, in effect, closing the town to tourists. The situation is getting ugly, attorney Paul Kafet said. People living in the community are becoming resentful of outside people using our beaches and putting us in a situation where we have no water for our own use. In San Mateo County, to the south, which has been declared a federal disaster area, one local official suggested that two or more persons ought to bathe together to conserve the dwindling water supply. Still farther south, such famous Monterey Peninsula golf courses as Pebble Beach, Spyglass Hill, and Cypress Point have had their water use reduced by 20%. The measures are in response to the driest rainy season in 127 years of recorded Northern California weather history. Wednesday marked the official end of the season, during which San Francisco received 7.16 inches of rain, compared with a normal 19.53. At its worst, the dry spell is contributing to ferocious forest fires, like one that consumed nearly 70,000 acres near Red Bluff, 160 miles northeast of here. But the impact is being felt increasingly by coastal communities where spring-fed water systems are all but dry. About 100 worried residents of western Marin County jammed a Wednesday meeting of the Board of Supervisors to plead for government help. Chairman Gary Glaccomini assured them that they would get it by tanker truck, Navy landing craft, or whatever was necessary. Within a couple of days, some of our communities will have no water at all, Glaccomini said. He noted that 1 million gallons of water is already being trucked daily to the coastal area of 10,000 people. Fred V. Rowland of the State Department of Water Resources said, "The main problem is in the north-central part of the California. In areas that depend on wells and local streams for their water supply." He said no serious problems are expected for the year in San Francisco, which has its own giant Sierra Reservoir, or major population and farming areas hooked up to the giant state water project or the federal Central Valley project. Normally, most of California gets rain only during the fall, winter, and early spring. Marin County had a record low 20.17 inches, less than half the normal amount, and 90 miles to the east, Sacramento received 6.59 inches compared with a normal 17.22.
Now, I just wanted him to read that because, as I say, it leaves more of an imprint on your mind. You know, when we're here, I hear, you know, we don't feel the impacts of other people's sufferings, do we? But see, I've lived in California. Things is not going to work the way that they think concerning their big water supplies. You watch what'll happen. We'll talk about it a little bit later on. It isn't going to work in what they've got in mind. See, when a drought hits, and certain things start happening, that has a different effect as to what scientists are really acquainted with. But they're going to learn a few things out of this. Now, folks, this is bad. How do you know that? It's bad. When you can't get water, that's horrible. Just like tonight, look how much water I have drank. Just like here, this water tonight, there's a lot of you out there, you can't hardly stand it now because you can't get a good drink of water. You're just waiting for me to dismiss you so you can get you some water. That's horrible. Your little babies get thirsty. No water, no Coca-Cola. You understand what I'm saying? No ice cream, no food, no nothing. When the water's gone, everything's gone. Because scientists say the biggest part of your body is water. You die quick. You can go a long time without food, but you can't go but a few days without water. See, and that's a bad situation. So, I want you to pray for those people. Thousands of people are already having problems. Now, what if it hit here in Georgia? Right now, we're fortunate. Because, like I said, the Western perspective was to get it because of the revelational time. But what that Western perspective denotes is that we who are the Western world, the woman part, is gone. You follow me? Her government, her supplement from heaven is gone. You don't believe that, do you? There's one thing about it. They say the proof of the pie is in the eating. It won't be long before you can take a bite. Then you won't mock Brother Pike like you do in your spirit. You won't find fault with him. You won't do him like you did Noah in the days of Noah. And when you've done the other, where he said every wise man ever since you, every prophet ever since you, stoned him to death, you mocked him, you killed him, you've done something to him. But there'll come a day when you'll have to face the situation And brothers and sisters, it's before you right now. When I say something about the black man in this Atlanta situation, that don't mean the black man's bad. That don't mean the black man is loosening all these devils out of the bottomless pit and all of these evil locusts of demon spirits. That don't mean that. You're foolish if you think that. The white man is head over heels in that mess. It's not either one of them doing it. It's God that's suffering Satan to come out because of sin and evil men waxing worse and worse. And God is releasing them from the bottomless pit to bring in the tribulation period. God only uses the black man as a type in the time of life, in the governmental perspective, just like he uses the white man in a time of life. The black man has nothing to do with the evil. So some of you connivers can quit conniving. Amen. Same way with the white man. The white man's not a brute beast like some of the black men think either. You can quit conniving too. He's a human being just like everybody else. He's not a devil. All right, let's stand together. Brother Bob, you remember the vision you had about Cassius Clay, George Foreman coming back, overpowering him and taking the belt. You remember that? Brother Bob had a vision he was telling me about. There's been a psychic, I just heard about it today, that made a prediction that Cassius Clay will leave the ring altogether and become a preacher. Now, if that happens, that's going to fulfill again what we said. I said the thing concerning Cassius Clay, they're going to find out, is a religious thing and has to do with Mohammedism. He also is back of Carter. Now, I want you to get this, folks. Jimmy Carter is a slick operator. Somebody said, well, you talk about the governor like that. He's a slick operator. Now you say, why is that? You got to stand for something. How many of you know that? When you don't stand for something, you don't cause nothing but a mess of confusion. Now why did Cassius Clay stand behind Jimmy Carter when he's Mohammedan? Because Carter compromised with him. That's why. It's another one of those Kissinger things. You say, why do you say that? Well, why is the Baptist backing up Jimmy Carter? He can't be Baptist, Mohammedan, and NAACP. He can't be everything in the book now, can he? You can't do that. You got to stand for something. But what he is, he's getting the white man, he's getting the black man, he's getting the Baptist, he's getting the Methodist, he's getting everybody he can. You know why? He's got one fella in mind, that's Jimmy Carter. Somebody said, Brother Pike, you don't really believe that. If I hadn't believed it, I wouldn't have said it. He's got one feller in mind, that's Jimmy Carter. He ain't interested in the black man, and the black man ain't interested in him. That's another thing, too. The black man don't care no more for Jimmy Carter than they do anybody else. The black man sees a chance for them to get up into the powers, bringing black power, which is a type of Satan. Let me tell you, each one is using the other. Jimmy thinks he's using the black man, and the black man thinks he's using Jimmy, and God's using them both. Follow me? Folks, there's death in the pot, but the prophet had what would take it out. That's right. How have you got what to take it out tonight? Amen. If we're the sons of God tonight, we can take it out. Okay, let's sing a little chorus together. God is bringing forth a man child. God's bringing forth a man child.